I have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
Wow. Do you like spring cleaning?
You know, I used to like it, but that's when I thought spring cleaning only took an hour. But actually, it takes multiple days. Tell me why it took me literally like 5 days. I'm on day 5 of spring cleaning. Let me tell you why. First day, I tried doing laundry.
That's not normal.
I tried doing some laundry and, you know, it was going great because like I was planning on doing 3 loads of my clothing, my thrifted clothing. I also had my comforter that I had on the bed that was going to be stored away. And then I had my old comforter that was going to be the new comforter to put on the bed, right? So that's 3 loads.
Right. Okay.
So I already knew it was going to be a little bit of a hassle because, you know, going 3 times is a little bit different than just going once, right? And on top of that, you got to do the drying and everything, right?
You do.
But unfortunately, I went downstairs and the laundry room was locked. So I was like, hey, Superman. Oh, no. Like,
Superman.
Why is the door closed? Like, can you open it? Because it's supposed to open at 8. It's like 12:30. It's like, you're a little late, right? This man is just so honest. He's like, yeah, unfortunately, it looks like a homeless man maybe did number 2 in there. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's true.
Like, what do you say in that
thank
situation?
You. Thank you so much for the...
Thank you for letting me know. Oh, no. Like, should I come back tomorrow? Like, you know, what's the situation?
Yeah.
So, you know, I go back tomorrow because I'm hoping that it's, like, clean by now. You know, like, it doesn't smell. Like,
we
you know,
only
you
hope.
Live in New York, you get what you get, right? So, I'm hoping it's clean. I hope it's open. The door's still not open, right? The super's like...
It's a bad sign.
Mr. Superman's like, oh, come back like an hour and a half later, right? Because like we don't know if he did anything in the actual machine. And I was like, oh, okay, why
did
you tell
me all
that?
He's the one man that has to know. Like he's the one man that has to know. What do you mean you don't know?
Right. So like why? Like I appreciate the honesty, but like why do you have to tell me that? Like as a tenant, I'm concerned. You know, I'm concerned.
Too honest.
So it turns out like I didn't do laundry that day. That really just delayed the whole process. If you guys want, you can watch the whole spring renovation, spring cleaning video on my vlog.
Enough plugging.
On my YouTube vlog on Sunday. But what I really did enjoy, though, was I went to Central Park because, you know, it was like in the 50s and the 60s. You got to enjoy it. You got to take in the nature when you
no
can.
No relation,
you know?
At all.
No, there is relation because when it hit 55 degrees in Florida, Mushuno was like, oh my God, I'm freezing. He pulled out his North Face puffer jacket.
Yeah, I put out the North Face.
Face puffer jacket and then he looked so stupid because it got so hot at the end of the day that he was just holding it in his hand.
No, I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, I went to go get a coffee. Like, I dropped my stuff in my office and then I went to go get a coffee and on the walk back, I was sweating.
And the thing is, so he like got so excited.
Like in the morning.
He got so excited about wearing his North Face jacket at like 60 degrees. He was like, yeah, when I move to New York, I can't be wearing a tote bag anymore. I'm going to start wearing a backpack. Like he got so ahead of himself and it's like, relax, you know? But anyway, I went to Central Park I went to Central Park during this nice weather and it was just such nice vibes because once you live in New York, it's just so hustle bustle. Like everyone's just constantly moving. It's just so chaotic. Obviously, you can't see like stars or nature or trees that often. So I went to Central Park and it was just so nice to see people like doing actual natural sports and movement and things instead of constantly working. So that was a nice little change in scenery. But yeah, that is my spring cleaning
to, like,
update.
So like, what's the relationship to like homeless men in spring cleaning?
No, there's no relation. I'm just giving you a little recap of the past few days. I thought that's what we were doing.
Good happy spring.
Happy spring. Yeah, on that note, happy spring,
you know? Thank you guys for coming back to our podcast. This is our podcast. It's called Difficult Dish,
right?
It's a podcast about South Asian narratives. And this podcast is hosted by myself, Mashnoon, and my co-host,
also hosted by me, Mahua Khan.
Before we go any further, rate us, review us, love us, say nice things about us. Let us know how you liked our last episode with Ani. It's one that I really like. I took a lot out of it. I've been wanting to have an episode like that for a while. I cherish that episode. And follow us on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I don't post, but I will.
All right, so if you're Muslim and you're listening to this right now, Ramadan Mubarak, because it is Ramadan. Oh, yeah. We are fasting for the whole month, and we are excited to fast, but also see how we can, you know, still do our daily activities of recording the podcast and workout and this and that while we're fasting. So we're excited to have this journey with you. Let us know if you want another dedicated like Ramadan / religion episode, because we got a lot of feedback on that. But this episode, we are going to just do a little casual Q&A, because I feel like we haven't, you know, just talked freely in a while. It's been very structured and very serious the past few episodes, which we love. But we want to kind of like balance it out with like, you know, just answering some silly questions, answering some serious questions, and just talking our shit, you know?
Yeah, we asked you guys to ask us questions on our Instagram. What's our Instagram? I forgot. What is it?
Is at Difficult Podcast. Sorry, oh I didn't God. Say Thanks that right. So Difficult Podcast, if you don't know.
It's not even Difficult Podcast, you silly girl. It's just Difficult Dish. Oh, yeah. You already forgot. Where the hell are you taking them?
Sorry, at Difficult Podcast is actually our TikTok.
My goodness. Okay. So yeah, we asked you guys to send us some questions. We didn't even look at them, so this is my first time looking at them right now. And we're just gonna you know, shoot from the hip and see what's going on. So first question I'm asked. Let me dig through. Oh, we got a question about Ramadan. You know, let's talk about Ramadan just a little bit. Just the question is, talk about Ramadan this year. Anything special you're doing? Anything special you're doing this year, this month?
I'm not doing anything special. You know, one of my favorite things about Ramadan is just spending iftar time with my family, especially when I was living at home. Like when my dad came home from work and when my mom came home from work and, you know, when my brother finally came downstairs from playing his games. Like it was just a nice time to have a union and just eat together, break our fast together, because we don't really have time to sit together and we usually never make that a priority. So growing up, that was like the one thing I always looked forward to, because it just meant that all of us would be together. And it's just so rare that, like, you know, my dad like doesn't go to sleep right after work, or like my mom, you know, is doing something else after work. So it's just very nice to eat together. So I am, even though I don't live at home anymore, I still will make an effort to go back home and enjoy those times with them, you know.
I think I'm looking forward to, like, obviously, like, the eating and spending more time with my mom. But I think when you get older, you realize, like, a lot of, like, the more intangible stuff that, you know, you should practice more in Ramadan. Things like, just, like, being nicer to people. You know, I don't want to, like, curse as much. I don't want to be negative. I really want to try to keep my negativity, keep, like, you know, trying my best to, like, not get sad. Try my best to not let my emotions get the best of me. You know, all of us kind of go through ups and downs. I know, you know, the beginning of the year can be a difficult time for a lot of people, because maybe they have a lot of goals that, you know, they're not super aligned with. They feel like they're, you know, running a little bit behind. And, you know, I think I love the placement of Ramadan, because it's right at the beginning of spring. It's kind of like a fresh start. It gives you a brand new pace to live on for the rest of the year. And you know, I really want to practice a lot of that stuff. I want to try to write every day for the next 30 days.
That was one of your goals.
Trying to just build like real consistency. I want to go to the gym as much, at least like 5-6 times a week. Try to be as consistent as that, and just being consistent. I feel like the month of Ramadan gives you the opportunity to really practice consistency. And that's something I definitely want to take serious.
I'm excited to like host more iftars. I know last year was my first time
That's fun.
Like spending Ramadan by myself for the most part, and I hosted my first ever like iftar gathering with like my three closest best friends, and it was just so nice to like feed them
it was a good time.
Have a little dawat, you know, like cook for them, get food from Jack's Nights for them, and like it was a potluck. And it was just cute to break fast together, pray together. It's always a nice vibe. But something that I started doing in the past few years was just kind of write down like all of the things that I would refrain from, the things that I would try to do more of, and just make a list of the goals that I had in mind. And it's just a really nice way to kind of have a refresher with your New Year's goals, or just, you know, do things better for a whole month, you know.
And it's I like, you get older and you see how like the overarching, like, you know, not eating or not drinking, that's what everybody's focused on. But It's nice to see how that is like the driver for trying your best to be better at everything else, you know. So obviously everybody masks it as, oh, like, don't eat, don't drink, whatever. But there's so much more to that, and I want to celebrate everything else this year for this Ramadan, you know. So, yeah.
So, our friend Radia asked, I'd love to know how to get better and faster at reading. We know we got a reader in this podcast now.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
I have no tips on how to be a faster reader. I need tips on how to be a faster reader, okay?
Sometimes I'll ask him, like, you. Oh, like, what are you reading? Like, what are you up to? And then he'll tell me. And then the next day I'll ask him again. And he'll be, like, he'll go backwards. Like, he'll be at page 10 the first day. Listen. And the next thing will be like, oh, yeah, I started over again because I couldn't concentrate.
No, it's crazy because I remember growing up in, like, elementary school. Used to always be, like, how fast can you read the book? You have to read a chapter a night. You have to do this and do that.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember those reading logs?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to do it. I was crying having to do that because I've always been a slow reader. Right. I've always been a slow reader because I have this bad habit of, like, when I get in the zone of reading, I'll literally forget what I just read. I'll read a whole paragraph in, like, 5 seconds and be like, I have no idea what I just read. And a lot of the time, we just continue on reading, but I've tried to make a conscious effort of being like, okay, hold on. I literally don't remember anything I just read. I'm going to go back.
Yeah,
so I do that a lot, especially with poetry. I've been reading a lot of poetry books. I've finished like 3 poetry books in the last like 2 weeks. And one of them I read twice, but the other two, like, I will read a poem, and if I don't get it, like, to the highest extent as I can, I will go back and read it again. So I don't have any tips on how to read faster.
Do you annotate? You do annotate, right?
I do annotate. I write down a lot of notes in my book. And, you know, I think fast, like, reading fast is more, you know, aligned with if you're reading, like, a long-ass novel and you need, like, to read it by, like, a certain deadline, whatever. That's not for me. But what about you? You read a bunch. What kind of tips do you have for...
Well, I think me and you both read for different reasons. So, like, you read to get better at writing. You also read, obviously, for joy and to learn from other writers, but I think you mostly read to get more knowledge and get, like, better at writing, whereas I read more for, like, joy. I read to learn about cultures. I read to, you know, just read stories and stuff. So I don't really have to annotate because I'm able to kind of understand the material right when I'm reading it. But I think I also talked to Nevin, our intern, so I asked her, you know, why is it so hard for me to sometimes read as often as she does? And she gave this great advice where she was like, oh, I think maybe if you switch up the genres of books that you're reading once in a while, it makes things more exciting. And also when you switch up like the amount of pages for each book, so, you know, one day you can read like something that's 400 pages, one day you can read something that's less than 100 pages, you know, so it makes you, you know, have some variety. It also makes you more excited. And I think it's all a trial and error. You know, you read what you like reading, but you find that out after a while of reading different books. It took me like 20 something years to find out the books that I like reading. Sometimes I'll read material that's very hard to digest and it's very, like, you know, traumatic. And there's also material that I like that's a lot lighter and a lot more, you know, like, softer, you know, and a lot easier to digest. So I think it really depends. So maybe just have a variety of different things and just experiment with genres and things that you like, you know. I always grew up hating like the white centric stories because when I did undergrad, you know, I was an English major, so I had to read a lot of like classics, which are great, but they're also very like American European based stories, and I used to hate it. I could never relate to it. It was just so boring for me. I honestly sparknoted a lot, but now that I'm finding a lot of like South Asian writers and a lot of POC writers, it's just a lot better for me. I can understand a lot more. I can relate to it a lot more. So maybe it's just that, you know.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not into fast reading. I think fast, like, I don't know why anybody would want to read fast unless you're in high school. Like, if you're like an adult and you're reading just for pleasure, like, there's no point in reading it fast. That's just me. I will spend an entire week reading like a 50 page book. I don't care, because I believe that when it comes to, at least what I like to read is poetry, the more you read it, and of course it depends on the book and the author, but like, the more you read it, the more you get out of it. So why are you gonna be skimming through it? Even with stories, even with novels, there, you know, I think a lot of time we forget because there are just so many books available to the masses is like when you pick up like a novel, like a 300-page book, like a person wrote that. Like a person wrote this entire story, wrote this entire book. If somebody's capable of writing a book this big, there has to be so much detail and so much information. And, you know, some people take a decade to write a book, you know, and what we're doing an injustice to like be skimming through this story, be like, oh, that was okay. That was a 3 out of 5. Well, so, you know, somebody like this is somebody's life. This is somebody's book. Like people spend a lot. I spent like a year and a half, 2 years writing my book, and it was like 75 pages. So if you pick like up a whole novel that is a whole made up story that is probably so significant to the author, do them the justice of really trying to get as much as you can out of that book.
Yeah, I think on top of that, also, a lot of people have to figure out what kind of reading mode they like. So, for example, I love physical books. I just love the feeling of like pages and turning the page. But a lot of people like, you know, iPad or Kindle or audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So maybe think about what your method is, your preferred method. And then on top of that, try to think of when you're more in the mood to read. So, for example, I'm usually a night reader. I like reading before bed and after I'm done with all of my work. But some people like reading when they wake up or in the middle of the day or whatever it is, you know. So there really are so many different like things that you have to keep in mind. So just, you know, have that.
Yeah, I want to try out morning reading for Ramadan, you know, because I got some time to kill, you know, from Sahari to, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Might as
well, you know, pick up a little bookie book.
That's a cute little Ramadan practice.
Yeah, you know me. You know me. All right. Next question. When are you guys coming to London?
Hey, oh.
Yeah, I talk about London so much. I love London so much. I loved everything about London. London, you have my heart.
Yeah, I'll come back to London when it doesn't try to blow me away.
Oh, yeah. Y'all got fixed that. Y'all got fixed that problem.
That was kind of scary.
Y'all got daily hurricanes.
I really thought there was a tornado going on. Like, I thought I was going to fly into the U.S. It was so scary. It was, like, raining / windy. Mashun didn't have a jacket. He was in, like, a half sleeve while it was, like, 2 degrees outside. Yeah, I liked London, too. I liked the culture there. It's just the cold really surprised me. You know, the wind really got me there.
Yeah, not me. I was thriving.
You know what we really like, though? The bean and toast.
I did not. Y'all are sick for that.
Who no, that was a good combo. That? It was good.
I had the Biscoff
waffles were really good.
Okay, that's not a European thing. That's literally American. Anyways, I got one. And it's a hard one. But, you know, we're here. It's difficult-ish. How do you deal with art / writer's block?
Tell him.
This is a whole episode's worth of information, and unfortunately, we still don't have the answer.
Yeah.
I'm currently going through it right now. When's the last time you drew something?
Yeah, I was actually talking to Mishun about this today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling him. I was like, yeah, I miss drawing. Like, I miss making art. It's been a while. You know, it's been a while, especially when you're a creative. I mean, this happens in all fields, but I'm a creative, so I do a lot of artistic things in different media. So, like, I have my art that I work on my designs with for my collections. I have, you know, my YouTube. I have my content. And then I also have art for murals and things like that. And then I have my personal art that I post. And it's just, like, there's a bunch of different places that I do it in. So I feel like when I put 100% of my energy into one thing, it's so hard for me to, like, delegate to other forms of my life. So it's been a while since I've done art and been inspired. So, you know, I'm still trying to go through, I'm still getting through it, and I'm trying to get over it. But it's kind of something that you just have to give patience to and just hope that it comes to you, you know?
No, I heavily disagree. That's not what you do. This is what you do. This is what I do, okay? You have to curate your own space. If you're living at home,
that's true.
If you're living at home, your mom's always bugging you, always barging in the door. Oh, you want to do this? Oh, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. We all got to live through that. I've lived through that. You've lived through that. You have to curate your own space in order to let all of that passion and all of those thoughts and ideas out.
You need to change.
It can't. If it's hard in your home, then it doesn't have to be in your home. Okay. Go outside, explore coffee shops in your city, explore the library in your city, explore the parks in your city, explore, you know, whatever. Go outside. And that's something that I've done a lot of. A lot of my release comes from being outside. You know that. I'm at a coffee shop or lounge every single evening, at least 5 evenings out of the week, writing, reading, listening to music, watching music videos, just building my own space. And unfortunately, it can't happen at home a lot of the time. I think two, don't, of course, be patient with yourself. Be respectful of yourself. Be respectful of your headspace and how you and how often you can express yourself through artwork, because it can be jarring. It can be tiring if you do it too much. But don't be too patient. Sometimes you have to just work at it.
Just get into it.
Something my friend, Soham told me a long time ago that I still remember. He said it very poetically, but essentially what he said is like, "Yo, you have to keep doing it. Like you, like let it sit, let it marinate, but you cannot wait too long.
Don't let the fire burn out. Once you have an idea in your head, do it, because it burns out quick and then you're not going to have that motivation again.
And a lot of the time when we create artwork or we write something, we create it with the thought that somebody else is going to see it. And that's not the right way to go about it. Because it first has the idea first has to be created with the thought that it is just for you. And once you adapt that mindset, it becomes a lot easier to release, because you're not following false imaginative expectations of like, oh, somebody's going to see this and this isn't perfect. And if it's not perfect, I can't make it right now because I'm not in the space to make something perfect. I got to, you know, I can make something perfect later on. No, just do it. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be every week. Just do it.
What I meant was that, like, be patient with yourself and give yourself grace, because obviously it's not normal for you to be constantly creative, for you to be constantly 100%. It's normal for you to have, like, breaks and burnout and, you know, that rut. Just give yourself grace, because it's normal, but also don't force yourself to kind of get over it right away. Like, accept that it's happening. I think something else that I've learned is that it's better to do something, like a small practice every single day or, like, every other day as often as you can, of like drawing or like something small that still helps you regulate that art form or whatever it is, instead of trying to make like big forms of art and big forms of like something that you think will wow everyone, that you think will have to be like the next best thing and like the next thing that's gonna get you out of this rut. Because I think once we try to make something that is, you know, flashy for everyone and flashy for ourselves, we start losing like the reason why we started. We start losing like the actual practice of art making. So I think to get out of that, you know, that rut, to inspire yourself again, is to just do small things every single day, which I also have to get better at, that still helps you feel artistic, but you're not, you know, doing something like crazy wow, you know.
Yeah. And I think last thing is, you know, in today's age, we often correlate artwork to sadness, because everybody's going through something. Everybody is feeling negative emotions and everybody looks to artwork / writing for release. But you have to remember that your art doesn't have to be sad. It doesn't have to be depressing. It doesn't have to be built, and it doesn't have to have a foundation in anger and rage and depression. Art can have a foundation in happiness.
My therapist said that too.
Looking in the joy in the world, you know, making something that just makes you happy to look at, not something that you want, that you're scared to look back on. Because I think that's really where I started. That's where you started. And that's where we often find ourselves nowadays. But you have to remember, you don't have to be sad to make something. You can be a normal, living, existing human, feeling regular human emotions and create artwork freely and passionately and not always like keep everything in the world of sadness.
You don't have to be broken and traumatized to make good art. You can make it wherever you are and whatever feeling you have. Like, don't get yourself into that mindset forever, because I had to unlearn that, and my therapist was the one that told me that I can make art about whatever I want. I don't have to be broken to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, so someone said, most rebellious thing you did as a kid and got in huge trouble for?
Well, y'all are crazy for that, because I'm not saying that on the air.
But you got in trouble for it, so like, it's known.
No, it's just like certain things you just don't want to release into the world.
All right.
But I'll give y'all a funny story. I feel like I said this on the pod before, but I'll say it again. Long story short, this one night I was 17. I went to go out at night. It was Friday night. Want to go out to parties. Still in high school. Usually my mom obviously got upset when I went out, but I didn't do too much, so she wasn't like super like, no, you can't go, blah blah blah. Mm. She was just like always like, okay, fine, like just call me, don't be late, blah blah blah. But this one night she was really pissed off at me because of something else that happened, and I was too scared to ask her that I want to go out, so I decided to sneak out.
Right.
I rarely snuck out because, like I said, my mom was mostly fine with me going out. This one night I snuck out. Right. I sleep with the door locked in my room, and my mom has never knocked on my door at night when it's locked because she knows that I'm sleeping. Right. So I use that to my advantage. I locked the door from inside my room and I crawled out the window. And this one night, and then I went to the park. Me and my friends were getting ready to leave. Right. It's like 11 p.m. right now. My mom thinks I'm sleeping. Right. All of a sudden, right when I get into the car and we're about to leave the neighborhood to go wherever, I get a call from my mom. My heart dropped. My heart dropped into the earth's core. I picked up the phone and I was like, hi, mom. She was like, and she was totally calm. She was like, Mushroom, like, you know, I'm knocking on your door. Like, you know, like, where are you? And she's like, and I'm like, and it clicked in my head. I was like, my mom doesn't realize that I snuck out.
she's going to realize that, like, now after listening to this.
She knows now. But then, so I was like, oh, mom, like, you know, I'm just like at the park with my friends. Maybe I accidentally locked my door. My fault, mom. She's like, okay, that's fine. Just come open it. You know, it's okay. You could be outside. Just come open it. So then I run back home. I'm crying to my friends. I'm like, oh my god, run home, climb in the window, open the door. I'm like, all right, mom, I'm gonna go outside now. And I went outside, and the whole time I was thinking, I was like, man, the power of a mother. The one night I've ever snuck out is the one night she's ever knocked on my door. Isn't that crazy? Yo, do not underestimate the power of motherhood and motherness, because they know. And
your mom simply called you on the phone, whereas my mom would literally show up where I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. I had deep
oh god
memories of trouble. Okay. Where there's just so many, I just can't even. But that story you just gave was bare minimum, you know. it's just sad.
I literally said I am withholding from the big stories. Okay. All that right. Was just some little funny that happened.
Someone asked, what other podcasts do you listen to besides Difficult Dish? You know, I listen to Difficult Dish like pretty regularly. Like, I'll literally, like, we'll record the episode, then I'll edit it sometimes, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, let me listen to it. Like, let me listen to it from like a viewer's point of view, you know.
Yeah.
I do that with my own videos too. Like, you know how when you post a story, you're like, all right, let me watch my own story over and over to see what it looks like from like the outside perspective. That's me.
Yeah.
What podcasts do you listen to?
You know, I'm not much of a podcast intaker.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not.
I think, I don't know either. I think one podcast that I really like, it has no relation to Difficulty. Actually, no, it doesn't. Is Flagrant with Andrew Scholes. I love Andrew Scholes. He's a comedian. It's a comedian podcast.
Of course.
If you guys are not familiar with Andrew Scholes, Andrew Scholes is the funniest white man on the planet. He's hilarious. But I love his podcast because it's him, another white guy, an Indian guy, and a black guy. But yeah, it's Andrew Scholes and the Indian guy. His name is Akash Singh. I would love to get him a podcast one day. I'll get him one day.
It's so funny how, like, really you're funny. More of a music listener and I'm more of a podcast listener, because I listen to a lot more podcasts than you do. So yeah. Obviously we got Anything Goes by Emma Chamberlain. I was just talking to Mashun about this right before we started. Love her podcast. Love that Spotify has her now where she posts more every single week. I think it's like 2 episodes now every week. I also listen to Jay Shetty's podcast sometimes. I love the guest episodes. I listen to Pretty Basic. I listen to Call Her Daddy sometimes. I listen to Call Her Daddy sometimes because I like the guest episodes. I think they're interesting to like hear, you know, the lives of like Demi Lovato or like Cole Sprouse, things like that. But I do think that Alex Cooper needs more like people of color on her show. I feel lot of white people get on that show. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts to spend my time. Spend the silence in my home.
Yeah, not much of a podcast intaker. I'm a big music intaker. Love my music, you know. My headphones unfortunately broke. I've had them for 3 years, but it's okay. I taped them.
Yeah, you got like a bandage on them. It's so funny.
Yeah, I use like blue painter tape. I was gonna let me know how you guys like the AirPods Max. I was looking into them. They're goddamn $500. What the hell's wrong with you, Apple? I was about to buy them though, but instead I just taped my headphones. So I got one. Does having ambition mean that you sacrifice your work-life balance?
Interesting question.
How you feel about that? How you feel about that? Does having too much ambition, is it bad to have too much ambition in life?
I don't think it's bad. Does it mess up
like the regular schedule of how to live life?
I don't think it's bad. I think that if you are able to prioritize your work and what you want to accomplish in life and with your work, while also prioritizing your friends, I think it's fine. I think it's possible to do both. Mm-hmm. I think something has to be prioritized more certain weeks or certain months. Again, Emma Chamberlain just talked about this in one of her podcast episodes where you talk about like prioritize work, sleep, or friends or social life. I think you have to do a little bit more certain weeks or certain days. Like, for example, if I have a lot of work to do one day and I'm trying to get all of it done, I'm probably not going to hang out with friends at the end of the day because I know for a fact that I want to rest by myself. Or, you know, some people want to rest with friends, which is fine. But I know I want to rest by myself after doing so much work. But if I have some free time on another day and I've done a lot of work throughout the week, like, I'll hang out with friends, you know, and I'll have that work-life balance where I can, you know, do an activity that's fun or go out to eat or something, right? I don't think you have to really give up one for the other, but I think it depends on, you know, how much you do each thing. So, like, if you are the type of person that wants to hang out with someone every single day or you want to go out and do something fun every single day after work, I don't really know if that's feasible because you're kind of neglecting, like, the work side or the ambition side of you. But, you know, it's whatever you think is best for you. It's different for everyone.
I have an answer for this. Mm. I came across this word. This is a term very common in Japan that's becoming very popularized in the Western world. And the term is ikigai. Ikigai is a traditional Japanese concept that essentially means reason for being. Essentially like purpose of life, life's purpose, but they have a particular word for it, which is ikigai. And every person in the world is searching for their ikigai, searching for their crossroads of peace and bliss in the world. And it's said that there are four standings to discovering your ikigai, which is the balance of what you love, what you're good at, what you can be paid for, and what the world needs, which is how the Western world has adopted it. So when it comes to things like ambition and wanting more out of life, I think that's completely normal, and I think you should 100% follow your calling. But I think we always have to remember balance and ratios. Whereas if you are choosing to follow a life of ambition for a couple of years, you have to balance out that ratio with minimizing a little bit of something else.
Yeah.
Not saying that that's good, not saying that that's bad, but you cannot have 100% of everything.
Right.
And you have to find your crossroads for what it is out of life that you want. So as for me, for example, when I was like 22, 23, I realized that I had to sacrifice some home and family time in order to focus on my artwork and focus on graduating school. Now I'm in a space where, you know, I've kind of relaxed and I've had a lot of free time over the last couple months, but now I'm ready to get back into ambition mode. And I know that getting into ambition mode means that I'm going to disrupt the flow that I've had over the last couple years, which has been like relaxing, focusing on relationships, focusing on work. But now I'm ready to kind of go into the next stage, you know? So I think a lot of people, when you get older and you go through life and you recognize that, oh, I'm at this point in my life where I'm feeling more of this. That's normal. A lot of people think that that's abnormal. That's a default. That's how we live life. Things become more prominent at different points of our life. But you have to keep in mind that when that thing becomes prominent, you do have to subsidize what it is that is hindering that certain thing from evolving to a new stage or a new level. So, for example, I know that over the next couple months, I want to take my artwork a lot more serious, which means that I'm going to need to spend more alone time, which means that I might affect some of the relationships that I have with people, and that's okay. But me recognizing that and me being preemptive and aiding, you know, that. So, you know, maybe I know that that's going to happen. Let me spend some more time with people now just so I can let them know, hey, this is what's going on in my life. This is how I'm feeling. I don't want this to get messed up. Or going to my job, being like, go to my boss, being like, yo, I'm feeling like this. I don't want my job to get messed up because this is just how I'm feeling right now. And I hope that you guys can understand and work with me. You know, so I've been living life trying to understand what my balance is with everything. Balance is a word that my mother has preached to me my entire life, me and my sister my entire life. And it's a very, very pivotal and important word to remember. Remember that you have to balance everything. You cannot do 100% of everything. You can, and you will suffer for it. So try your best to understand the ratio of everything that you want out of life, and understand that it's normal and it's default and it's celebrated. You know, it makes you a more complete human. It makes you a happier version of you. And you should never be less ambitious because you're scared of what it might do to you. You know, follow your ambition.
Good answer. I think that in every single month or every era of your life, you're going to have different priorities and different things that you want to focus on. So, for example, like, you know, in every single era of my life, I've always been focused on my ambition. I've always been focused on my career. But sometimes I'll have like the energy to focus more on friendships. You know, some months I'm like going ham and I'm hanging out with so many people because I miss them and I just want to, you know, see people. Whereas some months I just want to be left alone and I want to focus completely on just my work and bettering my mental health by staying at home or sleeping more or whatever it is. So it really, it is up to you to see what that balance is and see what you're feeling at that moment, you know. But it's not permanent, you know. It's always temporary. You can always change it up, but never feel bad about being ambitious or choosing your career or yourself over other things once in a while.
Yeah. And life is long, you know. You're not going to be ambitious for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Ambition comes and goes. Celebrate it when it's there. And understand that it'll plateau and it'll flatten out. That's just how life works. So just follow your heart.
Wisdom with Mahu and Mashun.
Yeah, you know me. All right. We got two short rapid fire questions to knock out.
Wow.
I need to hear your favorite book and your go-to coffee order right now.
My favorite book, please. That's so mean.
Maybe like right now. Maybe like right now. It doesn't have to be all time. Like that's right now, so like what's been your favorite book you read recently?
The books that I can think of right now is A Place for Us and The Namesake.
I literally said one. What's wrong with her?
Well,
What's your go-to coffee order? What's your go-to coffee order?
You know, honestly,
you don't drink coffee.
Yeah, I don't really drink coffee from outside.
She gets whatever I order her.
When I do drink coffee from outside, because New York prices are ridiculous, I just go for like the cheapest thing. Like, at this point, I go for, like, a latte.
Can I get, like, or, a like, cup of water?
Or, yeah, I go for, like, just a cup. Like, can I just get a cup? Like, plain cup. Like, I'll just ask for a latte or I'll ask for, like, an Americano. I don't even know what I don't know what Americano is. But I see that
you
it's, like, $3.
You want me to tell you or you just want, like, keep
wondering? Yeah, hold on. You can tell me, but let me just say. And, like, before, all back right, in the day when I didn't really know anything about coffee, which was, like, what, 2 months ago, I would literally order, like, a latte, right? And then I'll be like, oh, like, almond milk. And then I'll be like, oh, small, whatever, right? Sometimes I'll go for a medium. Actually, no, never mind. I would never go for a medium. I'll say small, right? Mm. And they'll do a cute little, like, latte art on top. Tell me why it's, like, $8. And obviously, like, when they turn around the little gadget, the little iPad, I'm like, all right, extra tip.
Yeah. So yeah, I give it's going to ask you a few questions.
Yeah. Goddamn liar. Such a liar. It's going to ask me one question. It's going to threaten me with a gun. But anyway, I freaking tip them too. And then it takes out like my whole like bank savings, statement. Yeah, all my savings just for that coffee. So now, you know, Mashtun told me this trick. Like, you can't order like almond milk.
It's not a trick.
You can't order like oat milk. So now I'll
she
be like,
a trick.
I'll be like, yes, small coffee with whole milk. No milk. If you don't want to add milk, that's fine too. If you want to just add water, so that's fine too. But yeah, so honestly, dumb. I don't really drink coffee from outside. I make everything at home. So after
yeah, don't listen to anything she just said. She literally just drinks whatever I give her.
Yeah, no, but I'll usually make it at home. You know, I have a good way of making it now.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you do.
What's your coffee order? Now I'm scared.
No, my favorite book. We gotta talk about my favorite book. At the at the moment, my favorite book, Time is a Mother by Ocean Vuong. Mm. I've been thinking about it a lot. It's a poetry book. It's a tough read. It's a fairly short read. I think it's like 100 pages-ish.
Is it a novel or a poetry book?
Oh, it's a poetry book. Oh,
okay.
It's amazing. It's jaw-dropping. It's something that you have to let sit and marinate. But if you guys want just like a really good poetry book by an Asian American author, Time is a Mother by Ocean Vuong.
And also Headspun by Michelle Manier.
Also Headspun by Michelle Manier.
I don't know what you just said, but yeah, sure.
My go-to coffee order, listen, I can literally talk about coffee for another hour.
It's actually true. Like, he's not even lying. It's actually true. Like,
I'll cut it short for you guys. And I can go in detail. Like, I can really go in detail. First off, it depends on the shop. If I'm at a good shop, I'm at a high-quality shop, think it's different at Starbucks. I'm not talking about no Starbucks. I'm not talking about Din Horton, Dunkin' Donuts. Y'all are crazy. I'm talking about a high-quality coffee shop. I walk into a high-quality coffee shop. If it's cold outside, I'm getting a hot black drip coffee. Nothing in it. I want whatever they got on my machine. If I'm feeling extra fancy, like if I'm I just got paid, I want to pour over. I want to pour over V60, make that shit right in front of me. I do not care. A pour over is
he
just
would
a
go
cup of
behind
coffee,
the counter and
cup.
Make it himself if he could.
That's if it's cold outside. And if I'm sitting down, I hate hot coffee while I'm walking. You know that. My hands get too hot. I'll spill it everywhere. I'll be sad. If it's hot outside, which I'm from Florida, it's always hot outside, give me a nitro cold brew. I drink a nitro cold brew for a couple reasons. One, iced lattes do not have enough caffeine for me, and they're always too milky, and I always want a quad shot, but then an extra shot costs an extra $2. Now I'm paying for an $11 latte. I'm not going to do that. They add too much milk. I don't like whole milk. I want oat milk. So it would be a quad shot iced latte with oat milk. Now I'm paying $42. Now I'm broke. Okay, now I can't do anything. So that's why I get a nitro cold brew. Nitro cold brew is a little different than a regular cold brew because nitro cold brew, as you can, you know, predict, is nitrogen influence. What does the nitrogen do? First, it makes it a little bit more foamy, makes it a little bit more, you know, full filling, you know, full tasting. And two, it enhances the caffeine.
Guys, today
content,
I made
so
the mistake.
The caffeine
feel. Today I made the mistake of asking Mashtun how to make an iced coffee, and this man pulled out like a science book. He was like, well, you would picture that when you put coffee into ice, it would become watered down. So that means you can't put too much.
All right, relax.
You can't. You have to put a higher concentration of coffee. And I was like, when did you become a freaking scientist?
Anyways, my answer is a nitro cold brew.
You couldn't
but
just say goddamn that.
Depends on the shop. Depends on the shop. But usually a nitro cold brew. Yeah, I drink one every single day of my life. Except for
yeah, thank God he's having a detox for Ramadan.
Yeah.
This man has coffee at nighttime to sing him a lullaby to go to bed. Like, he'll be like, oh, yeah, it's time to bed.
I'm a big,
it's
like,
12 a.m.
Like,
let me drink a whole nitro.
Like, I'm honestly like a big like evening coffee guy. Like no better way to bring in the evening than, you know, a nice coffee.
That's not good.
Good episode.
Yeah. We wanted to, you know, do a little less serious one, funny like it up a little bit. Hope anyway, you got any 10-second advice?
Let me pull out the notes.
Yeah, no notes are coming out.
I think I said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I did it recently.
He definitely did say it before.
If there's a musician that you really, really like that you've just been listening to for a long time, you know, if you're into like R&B, you've been listening to like Giveon or like Usher for like a long time, spend some time to like just like go like learn more about their life. Learn how they got into music. Listen to their first couple songs. Listen to how they met their producer. Learn more about their hometown and get a better understanding of how they've gotten to the place that they're at right now. Especially if you're an artist and you're a creative individual, it is very revitalizing and very motivating than taking your favorite artist or just an artist that you're really into at the moment and just look at their journey. Mm. Look at the journey that they've taken and really, really understand it. And it's a great feeling looking at somebody and just humanizing them. Take your favorite artist and humanize them.
Yeah, knowing their journey always makes a lot more clear. The art and music hit a lot more.
That too.
Yeah.
What do you got? Freaking pluck your toes?
Who says
something
that?
Crazy.
Who says you. That? No, mine is, I think at the beginning of the month, instead of overwhelming yourself at the end of it, at the beginning, kind of just like plan out your month, plan out like the reservations or events that you're already committed to. Plan that out in the beginning. Also think about what your priorities are for a month. So for example, if it's like the last month of the semester, think about, you know, your priority is probably like studying for your finals, whatever it is. And then finally hanging out with friends after finals and graduating or whatever the semester is done. So I think it's really important to kind of gouge?
What?
Kind of gouge out. Kind of gauge out what your commitment is for the month and what your priority is. Because I think it's very normal for peer pressure. It's very normal that your friends are trying to get you to do something and you're still kind of unsure of where you're going and what you're committed to. So you kind of say yes, even though you don't really want to. So it's just good to have all of that done beforehand so you know what to expect and what to say yes or no to.
What if I have nothing to do? Like, what if I have, like, no friends, no commitments, well, no priorities?
It's not what if. It's true. Nothing. You don't.
I have nothing. All I do is listen to Difficult-ish.
Yeah, as you should. So if you listen this far, you should comment what emoji?
You should comment the bouquet of flowers emoji.
No. I've been into that one. Comment the
penguin emoji. I want drop those goddamn penguins on
yeah,
the Friday
drop
post.
The penguins in the comments.
Every penguin post, every penguin emoji I see, I'll comment back a penguin emoji and then we'll be penguin friends together.
All right, anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you don't follow us on our Instagram, it's at Difficult-ish. And our TikTok. And our TikTok is at Difficult-ish Podcast.
Mashnoon.
Follow Mashnoon Munir on Instagram, where he doesn't post. Follow everything. Me if you'd like. It's at Labyrinth App.
Subscribe to my blog that I haven't posted on yet, but I will. Mashnoon.com. Thank you guys so much. Labyrinthapp.com.
Thank you so much for listening. We love you. And Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.